Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, we're talking about the race for vice president. We're hearing that Joe Biden could make a decision within the next couple weeks. Has to make a decision within the next couple weeks of the convention. And we're talking to one of the people who may be the top of the shortlist, Congresswoman Karen Bass. New York Times saying she's in the top two. CNN talking about her being in the top three. In any event, she's getting serious consideration. We talked to her about that, about coronavirus, about John Lewis, who she was very close with. We also talked with Long Beach Mayor Robert Garcia. I don't know if you remember a few weeks ago on the podcast, we talked to him as his mom was in the hospital, hoping that she would make a recovery because of coronavirus. Unfortunately, this week she died. So we honor her, and we talked about what that's like for him. And then we talk about politics. It's fun to sort of talk about that with two of my heroes in the political world, Bob Schrum, Democrat, Mike Murphy, Republican, both from the USC Center for the Political Future. So let's begin with Congresswoman Karen Bass and a look back to a conversation we had with her not too long ago.
Vice President nominee for Joe Biden. There's so much discussion.
Wow.
Are you being vetted for that job?
No, I'm not being vetted unless it's in secret and I don't know about it.
Well, how the world has changed since then. She's not only being vetted, she's reportedly on the shortest of short lists. According to the New York Times, she's one of the final two, along with Susan Rice. Bass has recently been endorsed by Dolores Huerta on the left and George Will on the right. Literally the only person in the history of humanity who's ever brought those two people together. Joining us now is Congresswoman Karen Bass. Congresswoman, welcome back to The Issue Is. First off, can you believe all this? And secondly, how much credit do we get?
You get all the credit.
There it is.
It has been a very, very surreal time period in my life. Reading so many stories. So I didn't know about that story. That was a fascinating one to hear about. Susan Rice, Ambassador Rice, who's just an amazing person, by the way, and a dear friend.
One moment that I found to be quite stunning this week was Frank Luntz, who's this longtime Republican strategist, was on Capitol Hill making the case for you to Joe Biden's face with you a few feet away. Let's play that.
Best person. I can't believe I'm doing this. She is so kind and she is so decent.
I mean, what do you make of the sort of coalition that's starting to come together behind you? On the one hand, CNN reporting that Nancy Pelosi is pushing for you, and then you have these Republicans pushing for you, and there's some that see that image and think maybe that could be the ticket. I mean, does it feel, even if you're not picked, like sort of your life's work is coming together in this moment?
Well, you know what? It absolutely does. And let me just tell you that, do you know, I didn't know he had said that. I had no idea. I was not in earshot. So I didn't know he had said that at all. I found out later that he did. So that's part of it being surreal. But, you know, I think it's just that I've always just tried to focus on the work. I've always just tried to focus on the issues. That's it. You know, everything that's happening right now has just been an absolute whirlwind, but 99% positive. It's a very exciting time.
So what would it mean to you, just to wrap up on this, because I know it's your favorite topic to talk about, the little girl version of Karen Bass, this thought that you are realistically now being considered to be the vice president of the United States. I mean, could you have ever imagined that as a little girl?
No, I can't imagine that as a big girl. I mean, it is still very, very surreal. But it is an absolute honor that people would talk about me in the way they have. I've read articles where they've gone back and found and interviewed people that have known me for years. And it's very emotional. It's very touching. And I think what I'm the most moved by is that people have recognized that my whole reason for doing the work I do is because I'm deeply concerned about the American people, period.
Well, let's talk about some of that work. One of the most pressing issues is the coronavirus. This week, the $600 in extra unemployment insurance that so many of your constituents have relied on is now running out. Congress not coming to a deal there. We know there's been some attempts at negotiations there, but what's the latest and what's your message to all your constituents that are really concerned about making ends meet right now?
Well, you know, I mean, I just think that it is just downright mean-spirited because there was no reason for this money to run out. We passed the bill in the House over 70 days ago. And so the hang-up is that my Republican colleagues in the Senate really believe that people are not going back to work because they're making so much money at home being unemployed that they won't go to work. And they continue to deny that until we deal with the virus, we cannot get the economy back on track.
People that are struggling right now don't really care about the partisan politics of all this. They care about feeding right. their families. So what do you say to those folks?
Well, number one, I say they need to keep the pressure up on the Senate. And that means phone calls. That means emails. That means social media. That has a huge impact, especially because the leader of the Senate is up for re-election and his election is not a given. And so any amount of public pressure that can be brought. So one thing I want to say to people is that I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry that people are going through this, and I'm going to do everything I can. I'm not coming home. I'm staying here because I feel like I need to be here to make sure that we get this done. There's just no reason for it.
Finally this week, let's talk about Congressman John Lewis. You've said one day in particular was your favorite memory of the icon. It's a day that we got to spend together back in 2018. This is at the Community
Yes.
Coalition in South LA, which you founded to help youth deal with drugs. I interviewed you, the two of you together, and this is what the congressman said about young people.
The young people, our children, gonna help us get there. Because they've been reading the words of Dr. King, that hate is too heavy a burden to bear.
What did that moment mean to you, and what's the most important lesson you learned from John Lewis?
Well, it meant everything to me to have him go to the Community Coalition and to be able, you know, I mean, when you bring somebody that you've been talking about for so many years and he's there in real time. But I think the most important thing that I learned from Mr. Lewis was just his lifelong, tireless commitment and his love for the people, period. I don't care who it was, when it was, if a stranger came up to him and wanted to talk to him and wanted to take a picture, he would stop and he would talk to them. And you could just feel from him the love he has for the American people, people in general. He's just the humblest person, never went to his head, never stroked his ego. His eyes were always on the prize.
That's what he said.
Keep your eyes. And I'm so glad you had a chance to meet him.
Keep your eyes on the prize. It was one of the great thrills of my career. And it was also so remarkable to see the services this week and to see that beautiful service on Capitol Hill, which you were there for as well. Well, Congresswoman, thank you so much for honoring him. Thank you for joining us. And if you ever get that VP job, don't forget about us.
Thank you.
Good luck. Maybe next time we talk to you, they could be in that job. Who knows? All right, Congresswoman Karen Bass, great to see you.
Absolutely. Good to see you, too.
Our thanks to Congresswoman Bass. From there, let's have a conversation more about the coronavirus. A reminder, a short time ago, we spoke with Long Beach Mayor Robert Garcia about his mother being in the hospital dealing with coronavirus. Unfortunately, this week, she passed away. And this week we talked to him about her.
Mayor Robert Garcia, welcome back to The Issue Is, and so sorry it is under these circumstances.
No, thank you. Everyone's love has been greatly appreciated. Thank you.
So talk to us about your mom. How do you want people to remember her?
Well, my mom was an amazing woman. She immigrated to the U.S. Like all immigrants, for the American dream. And I was a young kid when we came here. She worked hard. She cleaned houses, worked odd-end jobs, and then landed in healthcare and worked at the same clinic for over 25 years, taking care of people. And she took care of thousands of patients during her career, was a medical assistant, helped nurses and doctors She knew how serious COVID-19 was, and it's been very hard to lose her. But it is an honor to tell her story and share with people how amazing of a person she was.
I know you were so hopeful the last time that we talked that she was able to get through this. I mean, how do you even grasp this concept of losing her, and what has this all been like for you?
I think something that's important for people to know about COVID-19 is it can turn quickly into a very bad situation for a patient or someone in the hospital. My mom was actually making steady progress. She was moving forward. We thought she would come out, and the doctors actually were very optimistic. Just within days, her condition worsened. She had been on a ventilator for about 3 weeks, as my stepfather is. I just want to, you know, of course, the work that happened with the nurses and the doctors is quite heroic. But this is a virus that even the medical community will admit they do not know a lot yet about.
And in order to honor your mom, you set up a scholarship. How can people help there?
Yeah, my mom, of course, was a healthcare worker, and while she never went to college, it was her life's goal to help people in her clinic, to help nurses and doctors. And so both my brother and I graduated from Long Beach State, so we set up a scholarship at Long Beach State for women and immigrants that want to go back to the university to learn and graduate in the healthcare fields. And so we're raising money for that to honor her and her legacy, which will continue, which is helping people take care of each other, nurses and patients.
And lastly, you tweeted out that Joe Biden, the Democratic nominee, reached out to you. I know he met with you personally when he was in Long Beach campaigning. What did he say to you? What did you learn from that conversation?
I was very touched and moved, of course, that that he called. He's known, I think, for being someone that has experienced a lot of grief. And has reached out to people that are experiencing grief. His words were very comforting. I just appreciate the support for my family, for my brother, and for myself.
So many people are going through this right now. We send you love. We send you love to your entire family as well. And we're all rooting for your stepfather as well.
Thank you very much. So are we. Thank you.
All right, Mayor Robert Garcia.
From the mayor of Long Beach to the politics of this week. Joe Biden could be making his decision for vice president sometime in the next few weeks. We already heard from Karen Bass earlier on this podcast. Now let's talk about it, get some analysis from two of our favorites. Bob Schrum is a longtime Democratic strategist. He worked for Teddy Kennedy. He worked for John Kerry, Al Gore, so many other people in the party. He's now the co-director of the USC Center for the Political Future with Mike Murphy, longtime Republican. He worked for Arnold, John McCain, Mitt Romney. He now hosts a great podcast called Hacks on Tap with David Axelrod. Both these guys back together talking about the politics of this week. And let's start with a conversation about the woman we heard from earlier, Karen Bass. Bob, Mike, welcome back to The Issue Is.
Glad to be here.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So let's start with Congresswoman Karen Bass, because she came on our show. So let's talk about her first. Bob, what do you think? Are her chances realistic? Because a month ago, nobody was talking about her. Now it appears like everybody's talking about her.
She's kind of the Silky Sullivan of this race. You know, the horse that always held back and then came on at the end very fast. I think she's clearly one of the three finalists. I think the three finalists are Karen Bass, Kamala Harris, and Susan Rice. You know, one of the rules of vice presidential picking is first do no harm. And she's the kind of candidate, I think, who does no harm. She got one problem, which is she saluted Fidel Castro when he died as Comandante El Jefe. She's now said that was a mistake. She doesn't believe it. You know, it is a little bit of a problem in Florida, but I don't think it's insurmountable.
Yeah, well, first of all, you got to remember that who you pick doesn't have a lot of them bringing votes. It's more a message you send about what kind of president you're going to be, what you think is important. And if you're Biden and you're winning without even really being in the race, because Trump versus COVID is not going well for Trump, you don't want to, what Bob said, do no harm. If I had to bet, and I wouldn't want to, but if I had to bet, I would put Bass at the top of the list for three reasons. Mm. One, I think Biden feels at this moment in history he has to pick an African-American candidate. She's an exceptional one, chairman of the Black Caucus. former speaker here in California. Two, she, like Biden, is a legislator, low-key, no theatrics, liked even by Republicans behind the scenes in Capitol Hill. That's Biden-like, and I think would appeal to him. And finally, unlike Kamala Harris and a lot of the other candidates, she doesn't want Biden's job. She's not a political problem. She'll be very loyal. So she's safe. There are downsides. That Florida thing's a problem. Fundamentally, for what I think Biden is looking for, she could really fit it. She doesn't have some of the weaknesses of Harris, with the uneven performance as a candidate, ambition, you know, the things that a president may not want in a VP. And then I've got to say, before Bob does, of course, the great choice should be Gina Raimondo, the greatest Democratic governor in America of Rhode Island. But I think she's a long shot.
Let's talk about Kamala Harris, though, because in the past, Bob, you have said that she was the strongest pick and the most likely pick. Do you still feel that way?
I think she's still the most likely pick. And I actually think she's been helped by the negative stories that some people have tried to run against her in the past week. She is, by the way, her having ambition, and this is where I would disagree with Mike, what's wrong with having ambition? I mean, Lyndon Johnson had ambition when he was picked by Kennedy.
Yeah, but Bob, that's a canard. I am not criticizing her for having ambition. My God, everybody in politics has ambition. It's perfectly right and normal. But if you're picking somebody to be your governing partner, who you want, frankly, as VP to take hits for you, somebody who's got their eye on the New Hampshire primary in a couple of years is not the best choice. That's why George Bush picked Dick Cheney. He was never going to run. Yes, the Kennedys picked Johnson, but that was a different era of politics where it was all about balancing nationally, Texas, other calculations. As you well know, the Kennedys didn't like LBJ. It was not a happy working relationship.
All right, let's continue our conversation with Mike Murphy and Bob Schrum and take you to a moment from this week, the funeral of John Lewis.
But even as we sit here, there are those in power who are doing their darndest to discourage people from voting.
That's former President Barack Obama speaking at John Lewis's funeral on the very same day that President Donald Trump tweeted out the possibility of delaying the election and claiming that the election could be rigged. Let's talk about that with our panel, Republican Mike Murphy, Democrat Bob Schrum from the USC Center for the Political Future. Mike, we know that the election is not going to be delayed, but we also know that we will be having a whole lot more vote by mail than we ever have before. How does that change what you do as a strategist? How does that potentially change the makeup of the electorate this time around?
Well, it's important because some states that have not had as much vote by mail, I mean, we know it well in California, are going to be doing it for the first time. So it means the count will be slower, which will unfortunately give our demagogic president time to attack institutions as he knows he's losing. As far as in campaign strategy, you have to understand that Election Day now is 2 weeks long. I would not be surprised to see the Biden campaign really encourage their core supporters, who are now more numerous than Trump's core supporters, unless something changes, to vote early. They might have internet vote early parties. Get your ballot in now, which is not a bad idea this year, because we are going to have some counting challenges in some of these states that aren't used to a huge flood of absentee ballots.
We have to get ready for a very long election night. In fact, what I should say is a very long election week, unless Biden wins overwhelmingly, because in a lot of places, these ballots aren't going to be counted for days. It's going to be like California, where we didn't know the real results of the 2018 congressional races for a couple of weeks.
I'm confused at this point. Who is really being targeted? Who's in play? Who's like Trump? Haven't figured him out yet.
Well, look, it's a presidential election, so turnout will be high. That, you know, the turnout thing is a bit of a cliche in these big presidential turnout elections. That said, there still are votes in the middle. The last two presidential races in Florida have been decided by fewer than 120,000 votes. So what those voters care about, they care about competence, they care about the economy, and they care about uniting the country again, which is something that Biden scores very well on. So there are themes that move voters, and there are still voters that aren't locked into either candidate.
Mike is absolutely right. Might find out fairly early if on election night or into the morning it becomes clear that Biden has carried Florida, then I think the race is over.
the great thing about Florida in the Electoral College, if you win Florida, you only need one more. You just need a Wisconsin. You just need a Michigan or a Pennsylvania or North Carolina or Arizona. It really is the stranglehold. No Republicans pulled off a presidential about Florida in 100 years.
So a tip of the hat to your guys' friend and my broadcasting hero, Tim Russert, who used to say, Florida, Florida, Florida. And it is still true 20 years later after Tim Russert said that in 2000. All right, a couple of notes before we wrap things up, guys. We want to give a congrats to our regular Issue Is panelists, Stephanie Miller on the left, John Cobalt on the right, for their nominations for the Radio Hall of Fame. But in order for them to get in, you actually have to vote for them. You can vote right now at radiovote.com. Next week on The Issue Is, the very relaxed Arnold Schwarzenegger will be with us for the half hour. That's Mike's old boss. I'm sure, Mike, you have been in that hot tub with him. I can only imagine what that was like for the two of you.
I was his exercise coach.
All right.
Thanks so much for listening this week. I'm Alex Michelson. We have a bonus podcast that came out this week. It's a tribute to Regis Philbin. I talked with Billy Bush of Extra, Meredith Vieira of 25 Words or Less. You can look for that in the Issue Is podcast queue, and I hope you'll listen to that. Thank you for listening to this. Please let other people know about our show. I'm at Alex Michelson on social media, at Alex Michelson, and hope to connect with you. Thanks so much for listening. Alex Michelson, we'll see you next week.